The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the December-January issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to start off with Who's Who, and going to go to our third line. And we have Hendon Hooker, Tennessee Volunteers quarterback. His height is 6'4". His weight is 218 pounds. He was born January 13, 1998, in his hometown, Greensboro, North Carolina. Before a knee injury ended his season, Hooker led Tennessee to the top spot in the polls for the first time in 24 years. A six-year senior, he threw for 3,135 yards, 27 touchdowns, and just two interceptions. As a junior, Hooker was third in the country passing efficiency and had 31 TD passes. Though Tennessee's nickname is the Volunteers, the team's mascot is Smokey, a blue tick hound. Smokey the 11th will take over the job in 2023. Chelsea Gray, Las Vegas Aces WNBA guard. Her height is 5'11". She was born October 8, 1992, in his hometown, Modica, California. Gray was named MVP of the 2022 WNBA Finals, capping a postseason in which she averaged 21.7 points per game as the Aces won the championship. In her eight-year career, Gray has made four All-Star teams, and she won her first title in 2016 with the Los Angeles Sparks. But did you know Las Vegas is the third home of the Aces? The team began play as the Utah Stars, then spent 14 years in San Antonio as the Silver Stars, and then the Stars before leaving to Nevada in 2018. And finally, we have Alyssa Thompson, USWNT forward. Her height is 5'4". She was born November 7, 2004, in hometown Studio City, California. Thompson, who has committed to Stanford, made her USWNT debut in October 2022 at age 17. Earlier in the year, she scored four goals in eight games for the under-20 team. Thompson plays club soccer for Total Football Academy, a under-19 boys team that competes in MLS next. She's the only girl in the league. Did you know Thompson and her younger sister, Giselle, became the first high school athletes to sign name, image, and likeness deals with Nike? Continuing with What If, page 24, Detroit trades Al the Octopus. Seattle trades Boy. An expansion team means a chance to build a new fan culture. The mascot plays a big role, but it pays to get it right. The Philadelphia Flyers debuted our cover star Gritty more than 50 years after they first took the ice. The Seattle Kraken unveiled their first mascot before this season, their second in existence. Instead of the many tentacled sea creatures suggested by their name, they introduced Boy, a blue-haired, blue-nosed troll with a nautical ear piercing. The mascot plays homage to the Fremont Troll, a massive sculpture in Seattle under a bridge. It makes sense not to have someone in a tentacle monster outfit roaming the stands, knocking popcorn out of a fan's hands 2 miles away. Still, it feels like a missed opportunity. Kraken is a literally legendary name. So what if the mascot can't easily move around? The Red Wings have Al the Octopus, an homage to the Detroit tradition of throwing octopi onto the ice, just hanging from the ceiling. Detroit, the Motor City, has plenty of bridges, including the Ambassador Bridge to Canada and the under-construction Gordie Howe International Bridge. A bridge troll makes sense for them, and their fans should enjoy a mascot that actually moves and walks around. Bowie just needs to dye his blue hair red. Al the octopus, meanwhile, can stretch his many legs in the vast Pacific Ocean. He's outgrown Lake St. Clair. Denver teams have always had a unique home field advantage. The thin air of the Rocky Mountains takes some getting used to. Historically, Colorado's athletes are more acclimated to the lower levels of oxygen than the road team. That upper hand should even be more extreme at Coors Field, where home runs have always flown out of the stadium and curveballs have allegedly never broken as sharply. But a home field advantage is only as good as the roster that plays there. The Rockies have boasted lineups that could drive the ball in the past. Recently, however, they've traded mashers like Trevor Story and Nolan Arenado, a part of a rebuild. Coors Field had frankly wasted on a lineup that didn't manage a single 30-homer player last season and had several starters in the single digits. The Atlanta Braves, despite playing in a park with deep left field, ranked first in the National League with 243 home runs. Meanwhile, their pitchers allowed the fourth fewest runs in Major League Baseball. Clearly, this team has the tools to make the most of the Rocky Mountains. Instead of taking a great team away from the fans in Atlanta, however, this trade supposes that Truist Park and Coors Field merely swap elevations. The Braves can play on a tiny mesa high above the rest of Atlanta, like a baseball Mount Olympus. The Rockies don't need to go all the way to Hades, though their faithful may feel they're already there. Both teams should benefit in the short term. Rebuilding the Rockies is tough, because young pitchers have trouble establishing confidence, and hitters get an inflated sense of their own abilities. Scouting is easier at sea level. Meanwhile, the Braves can ascend to new heights of power. The Bengals trade the color orange. The Nets trade the color white. The Cincinnati Bengals losing their orange and black striped tiger helmets seems like sacrilege. When old people like me see it, we think of Carson Palmer and Chad Jackson. The Bengals have entered a bold new era with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. These Bengals are rare and awe-inspiring, like the white tiger. The Bengals introduced a white tiger color rush alternate uniform with orange accents. Lose the orange entirely? Not every team can pull off the black and white look, however. The Brooklyn Nets tried to make it happen. It just reminds people of the disastrous Paul Pierce trade. Brooklyn could use a rebrand. Orange is a classic New York color and combined well with black for the New York baseball Giants. If it looks bad, this trade will be the easiest on this page to undo. Let's now go to Poster Child and Fast Facts. We have here Donovan Mitchell, shooting guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. After being traded to the Cavaliers from the Jazz during the offseason, Mitchell helped Cleveland get off to a great start. Scoring at least 30 points in 8 of his first 10 games in 5 seasons with Utah, Mitchell made 3 All-Star teams. He got the nickname Spider because of his long arms and his love of Spider-Man. And then we have Jalen Hurts, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. Fast facts. In his second full season as the Eagles' starting quarterback, Hurts blossomed into one of the best players in the league as Philadelphia started 11-1. He threw for 2,940 yards with 20 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions. Hurts, a second-round draft pick out of Oklahoma in 2020, also rushed for 690 yards and 9 TDs. Let's get weird. Turn the page quick. They know who they are. Getting greedy with it. There's not enough weirdness in sports. That's not to say that sports themselves aren't a little odd. Imagine explaining the concept of going to a football game to an alien. Yeah, so thousands of people get together, many of whom put paint on their faces or wear giant blocks of cheese-shaped foam on their heads to scream for guys in very tight clothing who try to advance a ball that is purposely oblong-shaped so it won't bounce normally. And when things go bad, they yell at a man in a striped shirt. But once you accept that this universe exists, you have to concede that life inside it can become a little mundane. Sports are a massively big business. Not many athletes want to risk alienating their audience by being too different. Press conferences yield boring answers. Teams have the same attitude. The easiest way to appeal to a wide crowd is play things right down the middle. Be safe, normal, not weird. But there's hope. A beacon of bizarreness. Someone, something, who just doesn't care what you think of him. A creature who embodies everything that's wonderfully odd about not just the world of sports, but the world. A beacon we should all aspire to follow. I'm speaking, of course, of Gritty. The Philadelphia Flyers mascot first took the ice in 2018. It was immediately apparent the giant furball didn't fit any kind of mold. According to his biography, he was forced to come to ground when construction on the Flyers arena uncovered a secret hideout. He likes to eat snow straight from the Zamboni. In his second appearance at a game, he body-checked a couple of fans competing in an on-ice race. They were in full goalie gear, and then he hits were more like love taps. That is, if Gritty is truly capable of feeling love. Mascots have long been a strange part of sports. The phenomenon really took off in the 1970s with the bird known as the San Diego Chicken, who showed up at a Chargers and Padres game. Why a chicken? Long story. But he resonated with fans. When the original chicken was fired, fans booed the replacement so hard the Padres had to bring him back. He was reborn on June 29, 1979, when he hatched from an egg at a game. More than 40,000 people showed up for it. Gritty took things to a new level, though. He made his initial entrance swinging from a wrecking ball like Miley Cyrus. He shot a team employee with a T-shirt cannon. He dressed up as Gritty Klaus, and instead of spreading holiday cheer, he tackled a skating Santa and chucked a wreath at him. He may seem like a buffoon, but according to the creature himself, he excelled in calculus in school, and he has a refined palate, preferring to dine on imported pan-seared tuna steak with fennel sausage broccoli rabi. He'd like you to know he isn't allergic to applesauce. Let's face it, he's weird, really weird, but that's what we love about him, and we're not the only ones. According to the Flyers, in the 2018 elections, he received write-in votes in 46 states. Will he one day lead the country? Probably not. You have to be 35 to be president, and the G-Man refused to divulge his age. But he's still someone, something, make that we can call all look up to. So in Gritty's honor, we're celebrating all that's delightfully different in the world of sports. Settle in, grab a snack, fried grasshoppers, anyone, and let's get weird. A very weird Q&A with Gritty. How old are you exactly? Very good question. Answer. Why did you live in a secret hideout under the current location of the Wells Fargo Center? It was a game of hide and go seek, gone on too long. We've all been there. Question. What do you eat on an average day? Answer. The normal stuff, Grand Slam breakfast, salad for lunch, imported pan-seared tuna steak with a side of fennel sausage and a broccoli rabe for dinner. What's your earliest memory? A thunderstorm woke me up in the middle of the night once. It was around 4 a.m. Have you ever thought about shaving your beard? I've thought about it, but it's one of my top 8 facial features. Question, what's something most people don't know about you? Well, most people don't know that I'm not allergic to applesauce. Question, do you have a best friend among the other mascots? Do you have a rival? I have friends. I have enemies. They know who they are. Do you have a secret talent? No, I choose not to keep my talent secret. Who cut your hair? How does that work? I grew myself. Got a good deal on a sheep shears a few years back. It's a messy process, but it needs to be done. What's the secret to happiness? Hazelnut cocoa spread. If you could have dinner with 4 people or mascots or animals, who would you pick? Easy, the entire cast of Shrek. And finally, did you go to school? What was your favorite subject? My favorite subject was detention. My best subject was Calculus 4. Strangest sport. The phrase underwater basket weaving doesn't refer to a real sport. It's a stand-in for any college course that seems too easy or frivolous. Were underwater basket weaving an actual competitive activity, however, it wouldn't even come close to the weirdest sport currently out there. Among the oddest of the odd, a spiritual cousin to underwater basket weaving, is extreme ironing. Athletes take their ironing boards and wrinkly shirts underwater into blizzards or up mountains. This activity supposedly started in England, yet you rarely hear it's coming home said about doing laundry. Now it has a picture of people with scuba gear on ironing underwater. Say cheesy? It's never okay to say anyone looks weird unless you're talking about the Santa Clara men's cross-country team. They wear it as a badge of honor. For decades, the guides have a tradition of growing odd facial hair, giving themselves bad haircuts and smiling creepily for their team photos. They see it as a bonding exercise. We think it's cool they're secure enough not to care how they look. Different people with who? You gotta see it. You gotta see it. Boy, weird haircuts and facial hair arrangements. Moving on, page 41. He really said that. Soccer legend Eric Cantona's 2019 UEFA award speech was as strange as it gets. We tried to translate. Well read. Cantona, who played a 16th century man in the movie Elizabeth, quotes Shakespeare's King Lear here to bemoan mortality. Number two, sigh, FIFA. The French legend was accepting the UEFA President's Award, but he used his speech to predict a future in which medicine cures aging. Number three, dire prediction. The former Manchester United fixture speculates that without aging, death will be tragic, but not rare. The crowd was confused. Number four, stuck the landing. Empires will fall, science and technology will advance beyond our wildest dreams, but Cantona will always love soccer. Beautiful. As flies to wanton boys, we are for the gods. They kill us for their sport. Soon the science will not only be able to slow down the aging of the cells, soon the science will fix the cells to the state, and so we will become eternal. Only accidents, crimes, wars will still kill us, but unfortunately, crimes and wars will multiply. I love football. Thank you. Oldest squad, what's in the name anyway? Minor league baseball teams don't draw massive crowds or have huge television deals, but much of the money they make comes from selling merchandise, and if there's one thing people like, it's a shirt with a weird mascot on it, which explains why we've seen teams called the Yard Goats, Sea Unicorns, and Sod Poodles. But the weirdest of all might just be the Rocket City Trash Pandas, a double-A team that came into existence in 2020. First, the Rocket City part. The team plays just outside of Huntsville, Alabama, which is known as the Rocket City for its role in building the vehicles that took astronauts to the moon. As for the Trash Panda part, that is a nickname for a raccoon, which is known for being a clever animal. Put them together and you get a truly weird name, but one that works. With a logo featuring a raccoon wearing a trash can lid on his head, blasting off on a rocket, the team raked in $4 million in merchandise sales before it played its first game. Congratulations. Let's get weird. Continuing, let's get weird. Snack time. Tastes like chicken, we hope. Looks like he has a bottle of grasshoppers. Well, we'll see. You've probably heard the line in the old song, "Take me out to the ball game," that says, "Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back." If you've been to a ballpark recently, you know that you now have so many more food options. Many of them involve cramming as many calories as possible into one dish. Burgers inside of pizzas, fried brownies, hot dogs with peanut butter. But the most non-traditional might be something that's actually not bad for you. Toasted grasshoppers. The Seattle Mariners introduced the protein-forward snack in 2017. Called Shopulines, the critters are served with a chili lime sauce. It's actually a popular dish in Latin American communities, and they are sold at a stand in T-Mobile Park named for Hall of Famer Edgar Martinez. The Chapulines became so popular that for a time the concession company had to limit the number of servings sold each game to 312 in honor of Martinez's 312 career batting average. That led to a feeding frenzy of sorts. Fans would line up before the first pitch to make sure they were able to procure their crunchy snacks and to make sure they wouldn't have to settle for boring old peanuts. Weirdest non-Gritty mascot. Don't worry, Gritty. You're our top guy. But there are plenty of other delightful and wacky mascots who deserve a mention. Among the oddest is Big Red, the physical manifestation of Western Kentucky University. One might assume WKU had the nickname Big Red, like Cornell, and worked backward to figure out a mascot that was both big and red. Curiously, though, Western Kentucky's teams are called the Hilltoppers and the Lady Toppers. Cornell's mascot is a bear. What's a Hilltopper anyway? When they came up with Big Red in the 1970s, the marching orders were no hillbilly stereotypes and no animals, but a creature that looks like Pac-Man ate Grimace. Sure. Weird Hill to Die On. Before they whacked trash cans to tip pitches and had their computer system hacked by the St. Louis Cardinals, the weirdest thing about the Houston Astros was Towels Hill. The sudden incline at the back of center field at Minute Maid Park. Named after then the team president, Tal Smith, the 90-foot-wide, 30-degree slope featured a flagpole in front of the wall. The flagpole was mercifully padded. Tal's Hill made plenty of center fielders look foolish and at least a new look brilliant. Some of the greatest center fielders of all time, Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones, Mike Trout, made signature catches in Houston. Continuing with Let's Get Weird. Page 43. The salty taste of victory. Some people love mayonnaise on a sandwich. Others, like South Carolina football coach Shane Beamer, don't. So when Beamer's Gamecocks got invited to the Duke's Mayo Bowl in 2021, he had a choice to make. The sponsor offered to donate $10,000 to charity on behalf of the winning coach if he would allow himself to be drenched in mayonnaise after the game. I'm not a big mayonnaise guy, Beamer said before the game. I mean, I'll gladly take one for the team on that one if it means we won a football game, but oof. Well, Beamer's squad beat North Carolina 38-21, and the coach allowed himself to be doused with more than 4 gallons of the watered-down condiment. Pure mayo proved too thick. It was everything I dreamed of, Beamer said afterward. It was a little heavy, for sure, but I'm a little weighted down here in the back. Beamer might not have been too excited about the gooey bath, but his counterpart was relatively envious. The Heels coach, Mac Brown, said before the game, "We need to win." I said somewhere I'd let someone hit me with a frying pan for 365 days if we won. Mayonnaise is easy. Weirdest play. Sometimes the best strategy a team can employ is chaos. We've all seen it at the end of a football game when a team is desperate to score as the clock runs out and players throw laterals all over the place. But sometimes laterals aren't enough. In 1982, Stanford was leading Cal 20-19 with 4 seconds left. The Bears took the kickoff and began tossing the ball around as the clock hit zero. That didn't mean the game was over, but no one told that to the Stanford band. They marched onto the field and created even more chaos, allowing Cal's Kevin Moan to waltz into the end zone, where he ran over a trombone player for the winning TD. Let's Get Weird continues. Pretty peculiar positions. There are weird positions in sports, like the long snapper or the bullpen catcher. Then there are positions known to attract unusual individuals. Relief pitchers and hockey goalies, both known for their isolation, their teams and their superstitions, boast the kookiest characters. Brian Wilson, his jet black beard and bright orange cleats made it very clear Wilson represented the Giants. His reputation as a wild man intimidated opponents, amused fans, and entertained teammates. Turk Wendell, best known as a Cub and Met, Wendell wore a number 99 jersey and an animal tooth necklace. He pitched with a mouthful of licorice, brushed his teeth between innings, and once signed for $9,999,999.99. Bill Lee, better known as Spaceman Lee, this opinionated Boston Red Sox legend had no filter in the clubhouse or on the mound. No one could predict what would come out of his mouth or his pitching hand. Freakish finish, 6-6. What constitutes a weird score in the NFL? Since points can come increments of 6, 3, 2, and 1, there are plenty of scores that have never happened or have happened only once. A final of 34-7, for instance, is unusual, but is hardly inconceivable. One team scored a touchdown. Their opponent scored 5 but missed an extra point. A 6-6 finish in today's NFL? That's weird. It happened just once since 1972 in a 2016 Cardinals-Seahawks game. Modern offenses make ties rare and low-scoring ties basically impossible. In 2016 in Seattle and Arizona combined for 700 yards of offense, but Arizona missed a chip shot 24-yard field goal to win. Seattle answered with a 28-yard miss. Oops! We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.